Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we further ponder the salvation of Christ. But first, let's pray. O God, we who claim to be your people, turn to your word this day. As we listen for your voice, may we hear it well and live so that our lives are a witness to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen. We have two readings for today, and the one is from John chapter 10, verse 22 to 30, and the other is from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9 to 17. And they are both from the NIV, and they are lectionary readings for this weekend. Reading from John then. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Then we turn to Revelation chapter 7. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders, and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God for ever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. The title of my sermon today is "Salvation Belongs to Our God." This is the loud ascription of the great multitude as they worshipped in the presence of God and the Lamb, who is Jesus. By this statement, salvation is to be understood in two ways. First, God, who has revealed himself in the Bible, is the only one who can save humanity. There is no other way. And second, after the death, bodily resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, salvation is God's to grant to whomever he chooses, not to whomever we feel, based on our own moral views, that God should forgive and save. Why do I say this second thing? For the answer, we turn to our reading in John, looking at verses 24 to 26, where it says, "The Jews gathered around him, saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered, 'I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me.'" And here is the important distinction Jesus makes in verse 26. "But you do not believe, because you are not my sheep." And this is an important statement by Jesus. But before we get to that, I think it's helpful to note that the word "miracles" in verse 25 is, in the Greek, a word that should be translated "works." The Good News Bible is more true to that translation and says, Jesus answered, I have already told you, but you would not believe me. The things, that is the works, I do by my Father's authority, speak on my behalf. And works refers to everything Jesus said or did in public ministry. The signs and wonders Jesus performed, while significant, were only part of his earthly works that testified to his identity as Messiah and Son of God. Now we come to the important distinction. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Jesus did not say, you are not among my sheep because you do not believe, because the choosing of God comes before faith. This is why Jesus says a little further in our John reading, in verses 27 to 29, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now, as we turn our attention to our throne room scene in the reading from Revelation, it does not cover the preceding part from verses 1 to 8, which contains that perplexing 144,000 who bore a seal on their foreheads, marked for salvation by God. In that section, the 144,000 are from all the tribes of Israel. This is then followed by a list of 12 tribe names, each designated 12,000 souls, a total of 144,000. What is perplexing is how to understand this, for a very few important reasons. First, 144,000 is a rather small and very specific number given Israel's population historically, even today. Can this refer to a special category of souls whom God has saved and who stand in his presence? Second, Manasseh is mentioned as one of the tribes of Israel, but Manasseh is really spoken of as a half-tribe. The other half-tribe is Ephraim. They were both sons of Joseph who were sold into slavery by his brothers. Third, the tribe of Dan is missing from the list. Fourth, there is another mention in Revelation 14 verse 1 to 5 of the 144,000, but they are described as men who had remained celibate on earth. Finally, when John sees the 144,000, he describes them as a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, not in terms of Israel only. So the best way then to view this heavenly scene with 144,000 is to understand it as symbolic. First, that it represents a very large number, way bigger than 144,000. But 144,000 symbolizes the perfect number of God's people, since it is made up of 12 times 12 times 1,000. And in the Bible, the number 12 is frequently associated with governing authority, divine order, and governmental perfection. While the number 1,000 is frequently used to represent a large, indefinite number or an immense quantity rather than a literal count. For this reason, what we have here represents the complete and unified body of God's saved people under the old and new covenants, who John sees wearing white robes, holding palm branches in their hands, and crying out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Their cry is followed by unified worship by all who are in God's presence. After that, in verses 13 to 14, one of the elders asks John, these in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I want to say a word about the great tribulation mentioned here. The question we need to answer is the following. Does tribulation belong only to a time immediately before the end of the world? How are we to understand that? It seems to be the case that, while tribulations may intensify or get worse in the future, it has been the experience of every nation throughout the world and throughout all history for all time. History has no shortage of accounts of strife, conquest, warfare, famine and shortages, along with death and decay, not to mention all the suffering that is part of these accounts. Ultimately, for John, he would not know the time between his period and the return of Jesus, and the Great Tribulation may have been what he envisioned on the horizon. In reality, all of God's people in the throne room scene includes all of the saved under the Old and New Covenants, as I said before. And all of God's people are those who have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. The words seem so contradictory, but we know that it is a symbolic expression of the forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus, who died for us all. The phrase, the blood of the Lamb, is a shorthand expression for the death of Christ viewed as a sacrifice for sins. The imagery in verse 14 of robes being washed white in Christ's blood speaks of how effective God's redemption is in the lives of his people. In the end, they are found in God's presence and perfectly protected, according to verse 15. Further imagery in verses 16 and 17 draw from Isaiah and the Psalms, elaborating on God's protections. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat, for Christ will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The language speaks of God's complete care of his people for all eternity. No more will they lack or want for anything. As we end, I want to say that on Mother's Day in 1984, 41 years ago, at the age of 23, the eldest of five children, I alone went to church with my mother to at least be with her, not knowing that that day would be a moment of a deep encounter with God, whom I had strayed so far away from for a number of years. This encounter, like the return of the prodigal son, would be the ultimate turning point for me, because it was so powerful. The grace of God melted all my resistance in the face of his overwhelming love. And whether or not I went into the ministry, I truly knew that I was called to salvation and loved by God despite my life and wasteful, sinful past. And these texts we have today so profoundly speak to our hearts of Jesus as a shepherd who calls us to himself. If we are his, we can hear his voice leading and guiding, correcting and caring. With all that, we have the picture of the final outcome of all that God is doing, preparing a place for his people for all eternity, in full resurrection glory. So may our hearts long to serve God well for all our days. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, in reading your word, we are still unable to fully comprehend your presence. What we know is that you will save to the uttermost all those whom you have given to your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Help us to grasp the promises of your Holy Spirit presence now and for eternity, a presence that grants us peace and the assurance of grace, as well as your call to serve boldly while we still have breath. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.